Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word. From the book of Psalms, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the Lord God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. And from the New Testament, from the book of Revelation, then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God, the Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Word of the Lord.
If you would pray with me. Heavenly Father, now as we come to open your holy word, we pray that by your Holy Spirit you would illuminate that which you have inspired, that you would use it to conform us to the image of Christ, your Son. And Lord, now may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Our text this morning is actually going to be Psalm 146. So if you have your Bible, please turn to Psalm 146. That's the psalm immediately after Psalm 145 and immediately before Psalm 147. I thought it was funny. Praise the Lord. Praise be to our covenant God. Psalm 146 is the first of what are commonly called the Hallelujah Psalms, or where I'm from, the Hallelujah Psalms. Each of the last five Psalms in the Psalter begins with the word Alleluia. Praise the Lord. And when you see the word Lord in all capital letters, you should know that our English translators are here translating God's covenant name, which was typically left unspoken by the Hebrews, because it's holy. His name is holy. Or replaced with the word Adonai, the word for Lord. It's important that we recognize that the psalmist here is using God's covenant name because he is recognizing something about God's covenant people. The Westminster Confession of Faith puts it quite clearly. The distance between God and the creature, that is, you and I, the distance between God and the creature is so great that although reasonable creatures do owe obedience unto him as their creator, yet they could never have any fruition of him as their blessedness and reward, but by some voluntary condescension on God's part, which he hath pleased to express by way of covenant. Because God in his great grace condescended to make a covenant of grace with man And this after Adam had broken the covenant of works by eating the forbidden fruit. The Lord is worthy of our praise and should always be praised by His covenant people. If you have tasted the sweetness of communion with God, if you stand today as a justified believer through God's covenant of grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have known the condescension of God, reaching down to take a fallen sinner and make him a holy saint by the blood of His Son, then give glory to God and praise Him always. If you have been set upright by the hand of our Father, then praise the Lord, for praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. So dull are our souls that even when we read of the awesomeness of God in the Scriptures, when we come among the assembly to sing unto the Lord, when we wake in the morning and we recognize that we are not obliterated and perishing in an eternal hell, even after all this, our souls are so dull that they do not rise up immediately to worship. Now, there are times of great elation in which we might say with David that in God's presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. But we don't live each moment in that fullness, do we? We so often seek pleasure everywhere except at God's right hand. A good man, a good human being, would live every part of his life in praise to his covenant God. But we are not good. We are sinners. We're being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We're being conformed to the image of the good man, Jesus Christ. And because so much sinfulness still abides in us, we must each morning and each moment of our lives take up the war cry of Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! We must shout it to our own souls, for the desire of the enemy is for human beings to fall down and worship Him, to rob God of the glory that is due His name. Praise, the worship of the true God, is now for us a discipline that as we progress in holiness will become more and more our very nature. Worship is our warfare. I'm going to say that again. Worship is our warfare. And so we command our sluggish souls, praise the Lord! And this we do day in and day out. It is not the psalmist only who must praise the Lord as long as he lives and sing praises to the Lord as long as he has his being. No, this is the duty of delight that is for every human being, and especially for those who are in Christ Jesus. The language of heaven is praise. It is the joyous, exuberant expression of joy in a holy God for all of eternity. If you are to spend eternity there, you must learn to speak the language here. For it is a fixed truth that those who will not worship God will not stand in His presence. Preach, therefore, to your soul. Preach this. O soul! You know, if you do this out loud, people might think you're a little crazy, but that's fine because they need to hear it too. O soul! Do you not know that God in His goodness has made you? That He loves you? That He has given His only Son to purchase your salvation? Do you partake of the covenant of grace by the blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Have you not in, in your deepest depth of sin, known the forgiveness of an infinitely just and holy God? Are you so blind to the glory of God that no desire to sing and rejoice at such beauty fills your heart? Go to the Word, soul. Go to the revelation of God's glory in the person of Jesus Christ, and don't come away until you have a song to sing. Now preach this. Preach this to your soul as long as you have your being, for it will be necessary to do so every day this side of the coming kingdom. Now the psalmist wants to direct us to God. He wants to direct us to God, the glory of God, and away from the pomp of the world and the thousand things in which we foolishly put our trust, the thousand things, the millions of things that so often distract us from worship. And so he begins with the city of man. He begins with earthly power, the princes of the world. And he says this, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man, in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish." There is no government in this world, no power in this world that will ultimately save or satisfy you. There is no government in this world that will ultimately save and satisfy you. I think this is something, especially in our cultural moment, that we need to recognize, because we're so often to get political at the expense of our Christianity. There is no government in this world that will ultimately save or satisfy you. To place your ultimate hope in earthly power is the height of foolishness. Why would I place my hope for an eternal righteousness, an eternally just and holy society, in a power that is here today and gone tomorrow? The same event happens to all, says the preacher in Ecclesiastes. Whether you are a king in a palace or a beggar on the street, the odds of your death have been holding at a steady 100% since we were exiled from Eden. 10 out of every 10 people will die. Though the Caesars and Pharaohs of the world declare themselves to be gods, they die like everyone else. And the power that they accumulated and the plans that they made die with them, while another generation, wise or foolish, beneficent or malevolent, just or unjust, who knows? Only the Lord. While another generation rises up to take their place. The clear testimony of Scripture is that even the powerful rulers of the earth will be judged by God and will bow before the King. I said, "You are gods, sons of the Most High, all of you. Nevertheless, like men you shall die and fall like any prince." Remember, brothers and sisters, that it was King David who said, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid." Though he had brought down giants and a crown of gold was set atop his head, his trust was not in earthly power, but in God, his refuge and his strength. The city of man will fall, but the city of God will abide forever. For this we turn from earthly trusts and put our hope in the Lord, who has made an everlasting covenant with his people. Praise the Lord. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Though we cannot put our ultimate hope in the powers and pleasures of this world, we can put our hope in our covenant God. Indeed, the person who puts their trust in God is truly blessed. when we recognize our own poverty and we mourn that we cannot save ourselves, it is then that we are truly blessed, according to Jesus. Because it is then that we begin to look outside of ourselves and outside of the world for help. It is only when men recognize that salvation is from the Lord and not from the world that they are blessed. The psalmist goes on to list several attributes of our covenant God that should lead us to trust and worship Him. For example, He it is who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them. The Lord is the creator of the heavens and the earth. I think so often we can read over this and not actually take time and meditate on it. God spoke into nothingness, and everything that exists came into being. Does that not blow your mind? It should. The Lord is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He it is who flung the stars out in the night sky, who made the sun and the moon, who made the seas, and whose hands molded the dry land. By Christ, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. He has formed you in your mother's womb and knows every intricacy of your being perfectly. He knows you better than you know you. He knows the secrets that you won't even tell yourself. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Does your soul wonder at the magnificence of God in creation? Often when I see a sunset or think about the intricacies of the human eye or a thousand other contemplative observations of God's creation, I cannot help but break out in song or say, awestruck, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, I'm from Eastern Kentucky. I'm from this little place called McCrary County. Most of you have probably never heard of it. It's right on the state line of Tennessee. What my county is known for is that it's completely within the Daniel Boone National Forest. So almost 80% of my county's land is national forest. So to say that I grew up in the woods is an understatement. I'm surprised my parents didn't name me Mowgli. But you know, I've never gotten used to how beautiful everything is. And I praise God for that. But sometimes, you know, I go out in the woods and I'll see something and I just, wow, praise the Lord. Or you see a flower and you see it in a certain light that you've never seen it before. And then you just break forth in praise. Or, you know, like sometimes when I'm living in Pittsburgh now, and sometimes when I'm going home through West Virginia and we're going up over those mountains, I look off to the, you know, to the right at one spot. Every time I look off to the right at one spot, and you just see the mountains upon the mountains upon the mountains, and you recognize that God created every single one, that He knows every intricacy of every atom in all of this, and you can't help but just say, praise the Lord for the beauty of your creation. Does your soul do that? Sometimes I can't help it. But I shouldn't help it. I should be doing it more, right? And I am truly blessed that the God who made all that is in loving covenant with me. That He is my help and my salvation. And brothers and sisters, our covenant God is faithful. He keeps faith forever. There is no shadow of turning with God. He does not change, but is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord. When I am unfaithful, when you are unfaithful, guess what? God's not. God's still faithful. God still loves you. If that doesn't lead us to praise the Lord, what will? Even when you break His heart, He loves you. He's faithful to you. He doesn't leave you. Praise the Lord. The writer of Lamentations, during the siege of Jerusalem, during all of this awful stuff going on, writes this: "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Those whom God loves, He loves forever. And He will never withdraw His grace from those in Jesus Christ. Oh, my soul, praise the Lord for His great faithfulness. And our covenant God is just and compassionate. He executes justice for the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The fallen world in which we live is marked by injustice at almost every level. But we may rest assured that the God who is by His very nature just will execute perfect justice for those who are oppressed. Let the rivers clap their hands," the psalmist writes. "Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord." Why? Why should all creation break forth in a never-ending stream of joyous praise? "For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Justice will come with Christ. He looks upon those who are hungry, those who are poor in spirit, and He has mercy upon them. He says to His covenant people, 'I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.' Not only does He save you, but He cares for you every day. He provides for you every day. We recognize our emptiness, and our plea to Him is an open mouth and an empty heart longing to be filled. Shall we, having such a great benefactor in the Lord, be silent? Shall the rocks cry out in praise while the redeemed remain quiet? God forbid. May it never be. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. Now, Luke tells us the story of Jesus' coming to Nazareth, where He stood and He read from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Back home, I'm known among the older people as Joey's boy. I have a name, but they don't know it. They know my dad's name. And so back home, I will always be Joey's boy, or Lawrence's grandson. Well, imagine the shock when Jesus said to those who knew Him only as Joseph's boy, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." "Is this not the carpenter's son?" It's like, no, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. in Jesus Christ those who are imprisoned in the cell of their own making, who are enslaved to their sin, are given freedom beyond anything they could possibly imagine. Freedom to live abundant lives of holiness. Freedom to be reconciled to the God that they have so infinitely offended. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Likewise, those who are blind, those who are blind are given sight to see their own sinfulness and the only remedy to that sinfulness. In Christ, those who lived in darkness have seen a great light. The light of Christ shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome Him. By His light, we see light. Or maybe you know these words, "Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 'Twas blind, but now I see." Does not the grace that moved John Newton's pen move your enlightened heart to praise the Lord? The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. You know, this is a maxim I think that we should remember. A prideful person, a person in the depth of their pride, cannot praise the Lord. A prideful person cannot praise the Lord. Why is this? Pride seeks to glorify itself. But we have this promise, that the one who humbles himself in the sight of the Lord will be lifted up. Those who bow their knee to the only true King will be blessed as His subject. For the Lord loves the righteous. That is, those who are in right relationship with Him through Christ and seeking to live obedient lives before their Maker and Redeemer. Now, for these great and magnificent truths, we speak sternly to our souls. Arise and praise the Lord. Why are you quiet? Like, not you in particular. I'm talking about my soul. Why are we so silent and dull when we're confronted with such great truths? When we're confronted with such great beauty? We should be praising all the time. We have every reason to praise and no reason not to praise. I think I said that right. Arise and praise the Lord. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. Though the whole world might forget the weak and needy, the poor and the helpless, the Lord remembers them and cares for them. Now, these are the people who don't make the news. Some of them do. I've been to parts of the world where people are constantly oppressed, left to starve in the streets. And they don't make the news. They're not celebrities. You're not going to hear a lot about them. We don't think about them. God does. The Lord remembers the weak and the needy, the poor and the oppressed. The plea of the helpless is ever before Him. And He acts according to His great mercy. He it is. Oh, and you know, this is a name that we should remember. This is a name that should be emblazoned on our minds, because to be godly means to be like this. Okay? He is the Father of the fatherless and the protector of widows. He does not allow his sojourning people to be destroyed by this world, but is with them in their sojourn. He says to his exiled and immigrant people, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Who are the weak in your community? Who are the weak that you can actually help? Who are the fatherless? Who are the widows? Are you acting as the father of the fatherless, the mother of the motherless, the brother of the brotherless? I could go on. If you want to show people the love of Christ, the love of God, this is the love of God. Let's act accordingly. And then he says, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. God is to be praised for his goodness and loving kindness to his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he is also to be praised that though the wicked seem to prosper in this life, it will not be so forever. For behold, those who are far from you shall perish. You put an end to everyone who is unfaithful to you. In his great mercy, God is glorified. In his great wrath and the destruction of evil, God is glorified and will be glorified. And in this, may God be glorified in all things. Friends, I tell you this day that the Lord himself is King. And to him is owed all the praises and the allegiance of the earth. The covenant God is your God. And your soul must never cease to praise him all the days of your life. Preach to your soul the greatness and the glory of God. Preach to your soul the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us not be found lacking in songs of praise, nor lazy in worship. Let every part of our lives be to the glory of God and the good of his people. God is infinitely great. Therefore, we must praise him with all that we are. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please pray with me. Lord, you have created us for yourself. We are yours. We owe you our praise. We owe you our worship, our allegiance, all that we are. Lord, we have every reason to praise you. And yet our souls, we confess, are so often dull and do not rise to worship. Continue your sanctifying work in us. Continue to make us more like Christ. Continue to make us better worshipers by your Holy Spirit. May your glory be always before our mind's eye. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.